If you guys could turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Matthew 9, verse 36. We'll be reading from there. We'll start actually in verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. All right, we'll begin reading. The Bible says in verse 35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as a sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Let's pray real quick. Dear God, thank you for this day and the opportunity that we get to come to church. Thank you, God, for another day of life that you've given us. We ask that you please help us, God, speak to our hearts. Use me, God. I know that I'm not worthy, God, to preach your word, but Father, use me, God, to help someone through your word, God. And we just ask that you keep giving us a great day. Thank you for all that you've done for us. We love you in your name. Amen. In chapter 9 here in Matthew, we started off reading the last part of the verse, but in order for that part of those few verses to make sense, we got to go back to the beginning. We got to go back to the beginning of chapter 9. So if you go back there, the Bible says in verse 1, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city." So immediately we see Jesus going with his disciples, and he's going about what he usually always does, goes to different cities and preaches the word. This previous city he had gone to was Gadara. And as we know, in Gadara was where the man with the demons was, Legion. And the Bible tells us that Jesus went over and he met this man who was possessed with demons. And the Bible says that immediately he cast out that Legion from him. And the men in that city, they were scared. And unlike the other people who welcomed him with open arms, they rejected him and they said, you know, please leave us. And Jesus wasn't going to be anywhere where he wasn't welcome, so he ended up leaving. And the Bible tells us right away that he passed away and he came into his own city. And right away, he didn't take a nap. He didn't go into his house. Right away, he began doing his teaching. He goes into the city, and the Bible tells us in verse 2, "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, laying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." So right away, people began to hear, you know, the word begins to get spread. I'm not sure how, but obviously people talk. And as we know, you know, people, if you tell a secret to somebody, it doesn't stay a secret for very long. Usually people begin to talk and right away everybody knows what's going on. They didn't have media back then. They didn't have Twitter. They didn't have Facebook. They couldn't live stream it. They couldn't do anything like that. But the word began to spread around the city and people began to realize that Jesus was coming. And so what do people do when they find that Jesus is coming? Not just in chapter 9, but in other chapters, we see that people began flooding to him. Crowds began to come and they began to seek after him for what he can do for them. And the Bible shows us here right away that somebody brings a man who can't walk, a man who's been crippled probably since birth, and they bring to him the lame. And right away, Jesus, he begins, and he, you know, he could have rejected to see him. He could have rejected to heal him. But knowing Jesus and knowing what he did is in his ministry, how he came for the lost, he doesn't reject them. He heals them right away. And the people get astonished and they see this great miracle that's going on. And, you know, it's just amazing what's going on. And I can only imagine what's happening, you know, just thinking about, if I was there, what would I be thinking? I can only think of the people in their mind, how they were thinking, man, who is this guy? And, you know, maybe I myself, I had a disease, probably thinking, you know, I want to go to him. I want to get to him. No matter what, I'm going to get to him. And so right away, he begins to heal. He heals this man. He heals the man immediately. He doesn't reject him. And so they bring the man to him, and he becomes healed. After he was done teaching, he meets a man by the name of Matthew. And in the Bible tells us in verse 9, Matthew 9, chapter 9, if you want to go there. "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house of Matthew, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? So he meets this man by the name of Matthew, and he's a tax collector. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, whenever the IRS sends me that form and they tell me that I need to pay my taxes, you know, I'm not happy. That's my money, and I don't want them to take it away from me. And I can only think of Matthew and how he would go to people, or people would come to him, and he would tell them, all right, this is how much taxes do you owe. I'm sure he wasn't a man who was loved by everybody. I'm sure he was a man who, you know, probably hated, maybe for the wrong reasons, but, you know, he had to take money from them. And knowing the reputation of a lot of the people back then, even nowadays, I'm sure, but, you know, tax collectors, I'm sure that they got a share of, you know, for their own. I'm sure they took more than they had to just to put in their pocket. And so perhaps Matthew, perhaps he never did that. Perhaps he did. The Bible doesn't really tell us. But the Pharisees, when they see that Jesus goes into Matthew's house, a tax collector, they say, what is this guy doing? You know, if Jesus, who says he's holy, he's going with these people who are the lowest of lowest, why is he eating with them and sitting with all these people who are bad people? And they begin to criticize him. And that's one thing, you know, just a side note, when people see that you're doing something right, they just want to criticize you. But, you know, Jesus didn't let that get to him. Jesus didn't let that criticism get to him. But instead, he tells him, but when Jesus heard that he said unto them, they that be whole need not physician, but they that are sick. So pretty much just saying he didn't come here for those that are healthy. He came to heal those that are sick, to heal those that have sin like us. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So he kind of gives him like a smart aleck response, you know, but go ye and learn what this meaneth. You know, I can only think what Jesus is saying. You know, I'm sure you don't really know, but, you know, try to go figure that out. Try to go figure it out what it means to be with those that God wants, you know, that God wants in his kingdom. And, you know, I'm sure the Pharisees hearing this, they probably got all angry at him. But anyways, we'll keep going. In verse 18, the Bible tells us as well. So he keeps going. He's, you know, first of all, he left Gadara. Now he's at Capernaum. And right away, again, just reviewing real quick, he heals the man with that has been crippled all his life. Then he goes and he meets Matthew, a tax collector. I don't know why I'm thinking of that. A tax collector, and he meets a tax collector, someone who is hated, someone who is not liked, and he eats with them. And now he goes, and he skipped to verse 18, and the Bible says, while he spake these things unto them, so he was beginning to teach, and he was teaching, behold, there came a certain ruler, and worshiping him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. So the Bible tells us that there came a certain ruler. Now, it doesn't give us the name here, but in another one of the Gospels, it tells us that his name was Jairus. And Jairus, he was one of the rulers of the synagogues. Now, he obviously knew Bible. They weren't just going to put anybody there who was a nobody. Obviously, he had to know a thing or two about the Bible. And if we know anybody, I mean, if we know anything, the people in the synagogue, they didn't really like Jesus. The Pharisees, they were part of that too. You know, there was people who were up there in the synagogue. And Jairus, I'm sure maybe once in his life, he criticized Jesus, maybe seeing that people were doubting, you know, the scribes and all the Pharisees of what the lies that they were teaching. I'm sure once in his life, he said, you know, this Jesus, what is he doing? He's taking away our popularity. People aren't coming to the synagogue as much. They want to hear him rather than come to us. But he put all that aside, and he put aside that he was a ruler and that he had a high name, and he went to Jesus, and he begs him. He says, you know what? there's nothing that I can do, but I've heard what you've done. I've heard how you healed this crippled man. I've heard your popularity and how you went to Gadara and all this stuff that you've been doing. Can you come and heal my daughter? All you have to do is come and heal her, and she will be healed. And I believe that. And Jesus, he doesn't reject them. He doesn't say, well, I heard you last time talking bad about me. Well, you know what? You were one of those people that was talking bad when Matthew was with me. Oh, and now you want my help? No, the Bible never tells us that he begins to accuse them, but rather he tells them, all right, you know what? I'll go with you. And he goes, and they go on their way. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. In verse 20, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may by touch the garment, I shall be whole. So we see another person here, another person who is in need of Jesus. And we see that this person, it's a lady. She's been sick for a while and she has an issue of blood. And not exactly sure what that is, but she knew that the only way to get healed was going to be through Jesus. She had given all her money. I'm sure she must have been rich. She must have had money to have gone to all these people, but none of them could do anything. And finally, she hears that Jesus is here. Jesus is going to be there in this city, and he's walking, and she sees him perhaps maybe walking in the street, and she sees the multitudes, and she says, hey, what's going on over here? Who's that over there? And they tell him, oh, it's Jesus. And bam, right away, she says, you know what? I want to go to him. I need to go to him. If only I can touch him. If only I can get to him. I don't need to talk to him. I just need to touch a little bit of his garment. I know I can be healed. You know, her faith was so great, and, you know, just something to look at that, man, you know, she didn't even, you know, she wasn't like Jairus who asked for him to come. All she said, you know, all she said in her mind was, I need to touch him and I know I can be healed. I know the power that he has and I believe in that power and let me just touch him. And the Bible says that she does. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. So right away, you know, on the way to, you know, Jesus is about to do a great miracle and go into Jairus' house. And on the way there, he stops and he heals this woman with the issue of blood. And I can only imagine the people, how they're following him. They're seeing Jesus doing all these miracles and they're just astonished and they're just amazed of what all that Jesus can do. They get to the house in verse 23. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, which probably means they were crying, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. So they get to Jairus' house. And when he gets there, he hears this crying and he hears this wailing. And he's probably thinking, what's going on? And the people come, and one of the servants, I'm sure, comes to Jairus and says, Jairus, it's too late. You know, she's already dead. There's nothing that Jesus is going to be able to do. But Jesus goes inside the room, and I'm sure the mom is there. Maybe if the girl had sisters, maybe the aunts and uncles are there, and all these people are there. And Jesus just says, oh, don't worry, she's just sleeping. And they're mourning, but at the same time, they're just like, what? And they begin to laugh, making fun of him. And I don't know, if you're mourning for someone, if you think about it, you know, you can't really laugh right away. And so I'm thinking in my mind, how does that happen? How can they go from mourning into just making fun of him right away? And Jesus could have said, you know what, fine, if you don't need my help, then I'm just going to leave. You know what, whatever, if be like that. If you want her dead, that's fine. If you don't believe in, that's okay. But Jesus, he doesn't say that. He has such a meek spirit, and he just says, here, let me show you what I can do. And he goes, and while the people are mocking him, while the people are making fun of the power of God, Jesus comes and he heals this young lady, and we'll read it right here. But when the people were put forth, he went in. So everybody went out, and Jesus stayed in there and took her by the hand and made her rose. And fame hereof went abroad into the land. So the people left the room, and Jesus was left there with her. And I'm sure the disciples were there as well. And he just picks her up and she wakes up right away. And I can only think of two doors opening and everybody's waiting outside and they're thinking, what is Jesus doing? She's already dead. You know, what are you really do? Like, what are you going to be doing with this young lady. How are you going to get her to wake up? And seeing all the miracles, they still doubted. All those people still doubted. But nevertheless, the doors, I'm sure, open, and the girl comes out, and everybody, I can only see their faces and how they're just, their jaw drops. Like in those cartoons where, you know, we're watching Tom and Jerry in Cincinnati in a little restaurant we went to. And one of them, you know, they're doing all these funny things, and then his jaw drops or his eyes get all wide and the eyes pop out. You know, probably that happened, and not literally, but like their face is just like, what's going on? How did this happen? And they believe, and they began to believe, and the fame begins to spread even more and more, and everybody begins to believe in Jesus. We keep going down the chapter in verse 27. Give me a second here. We skip down to verse 27. And the Bible says, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him. So two blind men come to him after they hear about this. And Jesus heals the blind man. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but the Bible tells them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were open. So their eyes were open, and Jesus heals these two blind men. Verse 32, another one of his miracles. And they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. And now I want to get your attention to verse 35, where we read earlier. So we see the chapter, and we see what's going on. We see that Jesus is healing people. He's preaching the word. He's being interrupted, obviously. You know, he's trying to preach, but people come to him and with their needs, and he can't reject them. He just can't say, I don't have time right now. Let me keep preaching. Or, you know what, just wait an hour, or wait 2 hours, or how about come to him for me tomorrow? Can you make an appointment with my disciples? No, he never says that. He goes, you need my help? All right, I'll go here. You need my help here? Then I'll go there. And he begins to do all these things for all these people. And in verse 36, I want you to read it with me. Just read it in your mind. I'll read it aloud. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Those first five words, but when he saw them, where it says after those first five words, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. We all have expressions, right? When we're sad, you know, obviously some people cry, some people get down, and you can just see it in their face. When you're happy, everybody sees it as well. You know, you have that big smile, your teeth are showing. You know, when you're scared, people know when you're scared. You know, you just go ah, and your face just shows it somehow. It, you know, we all have different expressions, and the Bible tells us right here that Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. You know, how I'm thinking in my mind, how can you see that in somebody's look? When the disciple who was writing this saw Jesus, he could see an expression in his face, an expression of compassion. He's looking at Jesus, and he sees his face, and he says, what's... And he sees all the people, and he sees Jesus, and he says, you know, this man, he has compassion. Maybe Jesus is crying. Maybe his face is just, you know, looking at the people and saying, man, look at the need that they have. How can I reject them? And the disciples looking at Jesus, and I'm sure perhaps Jesus is crying. He was human, and we know that he's cried before. And in his face, picture his face, and it's a look of compassion. It's a look of compassion for the people in need. In this chapter right here, I see two attributes of Jesus. I see two attributes that stick out to me right away. That is his love and his compassion. He has compassion for the people. He doesn't have pity for them. He doesn't feel bad and doesn't want to do anything about it. He doesn't see a homeless man and just says, oh, you know what? Well, that's too bad. You know, the world dealt him a tough card. Oh, well. And goes the other way. No. He sees a man in need and he picks him up. And he's a man who needs healing and he heals him. He sees a man who needs a friend and he says, "I'm your friend." He had compassion on them. But if you want to have compassion, you got to have a love for people. You got to learn to love people. I want to ask you today, if you want to be like Jesus, then are you willing to have compassion? Are you willing to have a love like Jesus had? Can people see you? And when they see you, can they see that same look that Jesus had? Can they say, "That man has compassion. That man loves people. That man I can go to because he loves Jesus." This first attribute to see is compassion. We'll read verse 36 one more time. "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." The Bible tells us that he was moved with compassion. Compassion, I looked it up. It means to have sympathetic pity and concern for the suffering of others. But it also means that you want to help them. Pity means that you're sorry and you feel bad for their situation, but you don't want to you're not moved to an action. You see, compassion moves you. It moves you to do something for people. Pity just moves you to have pity for them, to feel bad, and that's it. You know, many times I believe we get those two mixed up. Sometimes we do feel bad for people, and we see people that are in need, but we just stop at pity. And we don't transform that into compassion, where we want to help them. We see Jesus here throughout the whole chapter, how he showed compassion, how he healed the blind man, how he didn't reject him. We see how he goes to Matthew and he becomes his friend. And he tells him, "Follow me. Yeah, nobody likes you, but I'll take you. You can come with me. You can follow me." And he takes what's not wanted in this world, and he shows us compassion. The Bible tells us Jesus showed compassion to the lame man. He showed compassion to Matthew, to Jairus' daughter, to the elderly lady, to the two blind men, to the man with the demon. And can I tell you that he showed compassion to you, to me? Think about it. You know, I don't know where you come from, but I know where I come from, and I know what God saved me from. You know, I can remember when I was younger and the things that my parents went through and how they almost got divorced. And I can only, you know, I remember all the things that were going on in my life and how, you know, just at a young age, I was thinking, man, does God really exist? And God showed himself to me. He showed himself so real by saving my parents' marriage. Not only that, but then allowing me and my brother to go to a Christian school, providing for that money. And then he didn't stop there. He didn't say, "You know what? You know, from there, you're on your own." No, he helped me go to college. And I went to a Christian college and he provided for that. And he allowed me to get on this plan and, you know, where I could pay less, you know, thank God. And that was the only way I was going to get to college. And, you know, I went to college and he saved me from a divorced home. He saved me from perhaps having hate for my father or perhaps having hate for my mother. And he saved me from all that. And he showed compassion to me. I want to ask you today, are you happy? Are you thankful for the compassion that Jesus had on you? Amen. If you are, then show it. I mean, I know it's hard, sometimes because I'll be honest with you. For me, it's hard to go to a random person and say hi to them. I'm a lot of introvert. I don't really like talking to people. It's hard for me to go to a random crowd and just say, "Hey, what's going on? And what's up, guys? Maybe you're playing basketball over there." It's hard for me to say, "Hey, let's go talk to them," because I'm scared. But you know what? When I think about what Jesus did for these people and what he did for me, it just gives me that little bit of courage. It gives me that little bit of motivation. It gives me that little bit of compassion. to go and do something about it. You know, how can you show compassion to people? How can I show compassion? You may be asking, well, Jacob, how can I show compassion? One way you can do it is through prayer. In college, I've learned a lot of things, and I just graduated in May. It took me 4.5 years. But I did learn in this one class called prayer. I learned a lot about prayer. I knew what prayer was. You pray, you know, you go to God, get on your knees, you know, you talk to him. And I knew that. But then he went in deeper and he talked about praying for others and that intercessory prayer and forgetting about yourself and praying for others and letting God provide for you, but you pray for others more. And it just opened up my way of thinking, and he would give us assignments. I want you to pray for, make a list and pray for all these people and pray for them every day. Do 30 minutes of prayer. And it was just something that was life changing because I had never prayed, you know, consecutively that much. And it just opens your eyes when you pray for others. And you may say, well, I can't really do a lot with my, you know, with my health, and I can't really go out there and you know, perhaps preach to others, my back or my legs or this and that. And I understand, but you can pray. You know, if you're here, if you have a brain, we all can pray. If you have the ability to talk, then you can pray. You can pray to God. You can ask for those that are going out soul winning. You can ask for your family members, for somebody to send them, somebody to preach to them. You can ask for the people, for your neighbors. You can pray. How do you show compassion? Through prayer. You can show compassion through prayer by praying for others, praying for their needs. I'm sure we all know somebody. I'm sure we all know somebody here, maybe in the church, or perhaps a loved one that needs prayer, a loved one that needs saving, a loved one that needs somebody to preach to them the gospel. How about we pray for them? How about we pray and we ask God, God, take someone to them. God, provide for them. God, help them in their situation. God, we can do it. We can pray through prayer. How do you show compassion? Through prayer. Number two, through giving. Now, giving, immediately we think about what? We think about money. When we say giving, we think about money. But it's not necessarily money. You can give, but you can give your time to someone. Have you ever thought about that? You can spend time with someone who's in need. Maybe you know a loved one. Maybe you know someone who needs somebody to be there, who needs a shoulder to cry on. You can give them your time. You can be there for them by giving them your time. In college, I've learned to be able to give my time. We have a bus route over there, and there's people that are in need. And we go on Saturday, and we spend most of the day there. And we go and knock doors, and there's people that come, and I see the people that are there in the route, and I just see the hurt and the need that they have, and I'm just thinking, man, how can they be in this situation, and how can they make it through that? And some of them, a lot of times, just they live for us to come that Saturday, like they survived that week just so we can come that Saturday so we can be there with them. There's, you know, little kids or teenagers, and they're like, man, you know, I had a rough week, but I'm glad you guys are here. And you can see their smile, and you know how they live, and you see the way of life that they have, and you see how their parents don't even care for them. Their clothes are so dirty, but they still have that smile on their face. And you know, I just can't help but to give them, to just... in my heart, feel something for them, that compassion. And I'm not trying to boast myself, but in any way like that, but it just opened my eyes going to a college where they, you could say, make you. And at first, that's how I felt, you know, like they made me go. But as you spend time with those people, you begin to feel a love for them. You begin to just create something in your heart. You know, you begin to give them a space in your heart, and part of you just give yourself to them. But you can give through giving your time, and obviously through giving of your money. One time in college, we usually go get buses really early in the morning, And so we went to get this bus, and we stopped at McDonald's to get something to eat before we went around picking people up. And so I go in McDonald's, and I'm there waiting in line, and so I'm tired. It's, 6:30 in the morning. We stayed up that Saturday for a long time, and so you don't go to bed till like midnight. Your roommates keep you up, and it's just a mess. But so you're really tired, and you have to get up around 5 to drive about 40 minutes to pick up the bus, so 5:40, I'm sorry, and then you drive the bus to your bus route, and then it's already, it's already 6:30, so you're like, oh man, you're tired already, and the day just started. So I went to McDonald's, and I'm ordering, I'm looking at the menu, and I get this smell, and I'm like, what's that smell? And I look to my side, and it's a homeless man right here. So I'm like, oh my goodness, like, Lord have mercy on this guy. It smelled horrible, my appetite was gone after that. Well, not really, I still order, but he was right there, and he poked me in the arm, and he said, hey, could you buy me something? And I was like, oh man, I'm like, dude, I'm a college student, I barely have enough money for myself, now you want me to buy you food? So I said, in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm staring at this dude, I'm like, all right, I'll buy you something. And I made the mistake, I didn't tell him, pick out of the dollar menu. I said, all right, get whatever you want. And I was like, oh no, that was a mistake. And so he orders this whole meal, and he's like, all right, I want a number 5 or whatever. And I'm stuck paying the bill now. I'm like, oh man. So I just told him, just give me a water. No, I'm just kidding. Told him, give me a burrito and I don't know, some sweet tea or something. And so I paid it and whatever. He got his food, and I could see it in his face. He was really worn out and all that stuff. And then I got him his food, and he just had a little smile in his face. A smile I could tell he was grateful. He was grateful that I got him that food. And I felt good. I felt good. I was like, you know what? That's why I'm here, I guess. I'm sure God will provide, because later on that day, you have to eat out again. You can't really go back home. You can't go back to the dorm. You stay up in Chicago all day. And so I was thinking, man, how am I going to pay for the food in my lunch? I'm going to have to get something really small. But anyways, I gave that man a track. I asked him to come on the bus. He didn't really want to go, and, I tried to tell him, but I gave him a track, and he left. Later that day, we went out to eat after we'd done dropping off people and everything. And a friend of mine, he just randomly tells me, hey, you know what? I'm going to pay for your food today. So I was like, oh, okay. And so I was thinking, man, you know what? God paid me back right away. That's awesome. And sometimes he does that. He pays you right back right away. You give something and he gives it right back. But sometimes it takes years. Sometimes it takes... he doesn't really do it by giving you money back. He just keeps giving you great health. He keeps giving you a great home, a great job, and keeps doing these things for you. But, how can we show compassion? Through prayer. We can pray for others. We can pray for their need. We can stop being a little selfish and pray a little bit more for others. Maybe 5 minutes for ourselves and 25 for other people. For the missionaries, for the people in need, for the widows, for the sick, for the poor, for those that we know that are in need. And then how else can we do it? Through giving. We can give of our time. We can make 30 minutes, maybe an hour, maybe call somebody on the phone, say, hey, you know what? I know you're going through a rough time, but I'm here for you. Just prayed for you. And I'm sure that can make a whole difference right there, just by you being able to be there for them. If you think, oh, somebody's going to do it, then other person's going to think the same thing, and then no one's going to do it. So you get through your time, and then you can also give, through your money. God will pay you back. I know He will. He's done it to me, and He's given me back plenty of times, and I know He'll do it for you. And then why did God have compassion on these people? I mean, why did he heal them? Why did he love them? Or I'm sorry, why did he choose them as a friend? Well, he did it because, I just said it, because he loved us. He showed compassion because he loved us. If you want to have compassion, you have to love people. You have to have a love for others. The Bible tells us in John 3:16, let's turn there real quick. John 3:16. It's a very familiar verse, but a very powerful one as well. I'll read it real quick. The Bible says here, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting love." Why did God have compassion on people? Number two, because he loved us. Because he decided to love what was not worthy to love. Because he decided that those that needed someone to love them were more important than those that were righteous. You know, how do you show love to others? You can do it by caring for them as if they were your family. If you read in those in Matthew 9, if you read throughout the chapter, he doesn't treat them like people who don't matter to him. He doesn't treat them like a stranger. He treats them like family. He treats those people like he cares for them. When he goes to when he sees, you know, Jairus' daughter, he makes time for him right away. Bam, he's right there for him. He doesn't, you know, he's focused. He's gonna do this. He's gonna care for them, and he doesn't treat them like a burden. You know, that happens a lot to us, where with family we can treat them perfectly and we love them and we'll be there for them. But when it's not our family, you know what? I feel bad, but you know what? I have more important things to do right now. You know, let's learn from Jesus. He loved everybody equally. He didn't love others more. He didn't love others less. He loved everybody just the same way. You know, that's one thing that we struggle with, that I struggle with. My family, I can love them, and I can show them love and make time for them. But sometimes, you know, we get caught in that, you know, just in our own thing. And when others need us, we don't make it a burden, like as if it was our family. But Jesus, they need him here. And the layman needs him. And he doesn't put him off. He right away goes to him and he heals him. Matthew needs a friend, needs someone to love him. And Jesus goes and he takes him. Jairus' daughter needs healing. Jairus needs somebody to be there for him. Hey, I need someone to heal my daughter. Who's going to be able to heal him? Nobody can do anything. And Jesus says, I'm here. I'm here for you. So how can you love others? By caring for them, by being there for them, treating others as if they were your family, treating those that are in need as a family. You know, when Jesus hears that Lazarus dies, if we, you know, we all know the story of Lazarus. He dies, and the Bible tells us that Jesus wept. He cries. He begins to cry, and he's only his friend, but it's almost as if it was like his mother that died. He cries, you know, as if it was his brother. And I'm afraid that a lot of times we struggle with that, where people that we don't know or, you know, just friends, and when they're friends, you know, we don't care as much. Again, we don't treat them like family. But let's love like God loved us. Let's not look at if they're friend or family, but rather, you know, brother in Christ. They are our family. When Lazarus died, Jesus immediately, he put everything aside and he goes to him. You know, if you want to learn to love people, if you want to learn to have compassion, one way to do it is by going out and going soul winning, doing the bus ministry. When I was in high school, our church back in Tennessee had a bus ministry, but I never really got involved. I thought it was a waste of time, to be honest. I didn't want to wake up early on a Saturday to go to Nashville. and go visit some kids that I didn't know. And I didn't get involved, I'll be honest with you there. I went to Ohio's, and my brother told me, yeah, we have a bus ministry on Saturday, and then Sunday we're out all day. Oh, Saturday and Sunday we're out all day. And I was thinking, are we going to be back by 2? He's like, no, we'll probably be back by 7 or 8. Wait, p.m.? And he was like, yep. I'm like, oh, my word. What if I want to go play basketball? What if I want to go to Chicago, hang out with my friends, and do all this stuff? And I was like, I have to go soul winning, or I have to go do this and visit all these kids. But just when you get to their homes, I don't know, it was just something. I saw the way that they were living, and I just felt bad for them. I had pity for them. And I felt bad, but in my heart I was thinking, well, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, I'll keep visiting you, but I don't know what I can do there. And then as the months passed and the first year passed, I began to get something different. I began to feel a burden for them. And it wasn't just pity anymore. Now it was compassion. Now I just felt like I needed to help them. I would ask the parents, you know, hey, do you need groceries? Sometimes I would see what they, I would ask the kids, hey, have you guys eaten anything? And we'd come around 2 p.m. or something, 3 or 4, and they're like, no, you know, my parents aren't here, and we don't really know have anything to eat. They're like all these little kids, probably around their age. What is it, Elijah's age? And they're all skinny and scrawny, and their shirts are dirty. And I'm thinking, man, like, are the parents not gonna feed their kids? Do they not love them? And that's when God told me, and I don't know, it just felt like God just said something to me, like, well, that's why I brought you here, so you could love them.
And they weren't my family members. They weren't my friends. Some random people. But I knew God had brought me so I could love them. And when I see them now, give me a hug. Their dad's not there. Who knows where their mom is? But at least they know that I'm there. And they know that Jesus loves them. And we're there for them. And remind them that Jesus loves them. Nobody else does. God does. Just go and knock. You'll find someone. You'll find someone in need right away. It won't take long. And I needed that because I remember in high school or before college, I didn't really care. I just cared about what I wanted. I cared about my future and my plans and the money I wanted to make. But you just go and you serve God, and He opens your eyes and you see something different. And you forget about what you want. And you begin to show others the love that God wants you to show to them. I'm very thankful for the bus ministry there and the people that I met. I hate thinking about it, but one day I'm not going to be there forever. I know I'm not. It's going to hurt so much because I know that I've given my heart to them. But I know He'll take me somewhere else where people will be needed. I'm sure there'll be plenty of people in the college who will take my place. It's very simple, my challenge to you. Let's love like Jesus loves people. Like He loves the forgotten, the hurt, the misunderstood. Just like He loved us. And let's have compassion on others like Jesus had compassion on us. Let's not forget where God brought us from. And, you know, where He's placed us now. And let's reciprocate that same compassion and love for others